Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Once again today, we are joined in the studio by Ron Kangas. Ron, welcome back this morning.
Yes, and I appreciate being able to fellowship on this particular matter with you.
Ron, let's look at a couple of verses here. We are now in chapter 14, and as I mentioned, we've had several programs exploring the contamination that resides within all of us. It's signified, typified in Leviticus and in other places in Scripture by this matter of leprosy, something that is inward, but yet that has an outward expression. Let's look at these verses in chapter 14. Verse 1 says, "Then Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, 'This shall be the law of the leper on the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go forth outside the camp. Then the priest shall look, and if the infection of leprosy has been healed in the leper, then the priest shall command that 2 living clean birds and cedar wood and scarlet strands and hyssop be taken for the one who is to be cleansed.'" So there is a salvation for this one, isn't there?
There is a complete and thorough salvation, a salvation to match the depth of the fallenness, rottenness, and corruption caused to the human race through Satan's injecting himself as sin into us and constituting us as sin in our constitution and as sinners in our daily living. The more we realize the depth of our fallenness and the more we have the details of Christ's salvation unveiled to us, the more we will be released and the more we will appreciate and enjoy what the Lord has done for us in His salvation. But as we are endeavoring to live in fellowship with the Lord, according to 1 John chapter 1, we see that we dare not say that we do not have sin dwelling in us, or that we do not have sins in our behavior. So we need to know how to apply the reality of this type so that we may experience the cleansing which comes to us on the basis of Christ's redemptive death.
Well, we're going to look at a couple of short portions from Witness Lee today. Let's go to him for that first one now.
Now, you come to the most wonderful thing. That is the cleansing of the leper. Hallelujah for the cleansing. In the past messages, what we have seen is just the unveiling of what we are in a negative way. We just have seen a negative portrait. But now, after that, we come to the cleansing. And this cleansing is the all-inclusive salvation created and prepared and finished, completed by God for us. In this cleansing, Christ is very, very much unveiled. In the portrait, we have been manifested. We have been portrayed to the uttermost. Now, coming to the cleansing, here we could see a Christ who is so all-inclusive. He has the blood, He has the Spirit, and He has everything for us. In Him, the provision in God's salvation is rich, is complete, is all inclusive. I would even say it's all extensive. So I do hope you all will get into it, not only in the knowledge, but also in your experience. First of all, the priest going outside the camp to examine the leper, signifying the Lord Jesus, humbling himself to be nigh to the sinner. We all know he came from the heavens to the earth to be nigh to us, the sinners. Especially in Matthew chapter 8, we all have seen a picture there, the Lord Jesus coming down from the mount to raise a leper. And there, he was nigh to the leper. A leper should be what? Should be isolated, excluded from the people of God. Yet the Lord Jesus came down to be nigh to him. Even he could touch him. He was so nigh to him. Even he had sympathy with love to touch him. And a leper should never be touched by anybody. But the Lord did it.
Ron, I love this picture of Christ as our wonderful high priest, willingly giving up his place and coming to us, all of us who are the real lepers, to effect a cleansing. It's something that has to humble us all, but at the same time, how could we not be brought to the Lord just to worship him for the salvation that he is to us?
I, of course, agree, I mean, in full. But I have a reservation, not about the suggestion that we should be filled with profound gratitude to the Lord for coming to us, and that we should worship him for such a complete salvation. But I find myself wondering, Chris, of whether in our actual experience, our appreciation and our worship for the Lord, even in this matter, are adequate. Of course, we do thank him for dying for our sins and for saving us and for redeeming us at the cost of his sinless, precious blood. But if we have an insufficient realization of the degree of our corruption in the fall, we cannot have an adequate understanding or appreciation of the price the Lord paid to come to a world that we could say, I hope it's okay to say, is like a leper colony. You have the holy and righteous God of glory dwelling in unapproachable light, coming in the Son, who is our priest, coming in the Son to have contact with us who were most defiled. So I agree, but I'm also concerned that we would go through a kind of learning through the Word and by the Spirit in which we realize we in ourselves are a constitution of sin, and we are a totality of leprosy, and thus are unclean and untouchable. Yet, in his great mercy and in his great love, the Lord came to where we are and not only had contact with us and indicated his compassion upon us, but he went through this tremendous process of death and resurrection to effect a full salvation and a thorough and absolute cleansing for us. When we acknowledge our corruption, when we appreciate his redemption, and when we have applied to us the effective cleansing, then surely there will be an ever-increasing appreciation and worship and thanksgiving to him. He is worthy of our eternal praise for saving us from such an incredibly fallen condition and bringing us into a situation where we are cleansed, enlivened, and enjoying fellowship with this wonderful triune God.
I really appreciated how you handled that, Ron, your response. It seems that our appreciation can only be as great as our realization of what we really are, and I think that's where the shortage often comes. We just may not appreciate that much because probably we just don't see that much what we really are in our constitution, do we?
This is a fact of experience, and even more basic, it's according to the Word. I'm thinking of Luke chapter 7, where that sinful woman came uninvited to the house of a Pharisee. And to just come right to the point that I would like to make based upon that portion of Luke, the Lord Jesus said, "He who is forgiven little loves little, and he who is forgiven much loves much." Well, it's not as if any of us has only a little that needs to be forgiven. But if we have little realization of how much we need to be forgiven and cleansed, and how much we have been forgiven and cleansed, and the great price the Lord paid for that forgiveness and cleansing, then we will really love Him. We just can't manufacture the love, the appreciation, and the worship. It's a response, a living response, to the application to us by the Spirit of Christ's redemptive death and God's complete salvation. And we look to the Lord that under His blessing, more and more the Lord's people, especially the seekers among His people, would be enlightened to realize their need and would be enlightened to appreciate Christ, experience Him more, enjoy Him more, and praise Him more.
Well, there's a lot of detail in this chapter that we're not going to be able to get into because of time, but we do have a very short portion of Witness Lee just ahead. It's our final portion of his speaking today. And in this one, he just will make a very simple but profound point that this leper that receives the cleansing has been healed. And so the distinction, the difference between healing and cleansing is our point in this coming portion. Let's go to him for that.
The leper who was to be healed needing to seek for cleansing before God. Yes, the Lord has came. He became nigh to us, yet we need to seek for the cleansing. As a leper, a sinner, we need to seek after the cleansing. Our seeking is our coordination to cooperate with God's grace and love. This signifies that the one who is sick of the sin of leprosy, although he has been healed by the live within, still needs to have his shortcomings and development dealt with before God that he might be cleansed. Thus far, he has been healed, yet not cleansed yet, right? So he needs something further. He needs to seek after the cleansing that he might be cleansed, not only healed. To be healed is one thing. To be cleansed is another thing. So this process or procedure of the cleansing is quite something, including these many items.
Ron, this very short portion really serves as a lead-in to several points that he brings out in the life study message regarding the cleansing of the leper and the various aspects of Christ and his redemption and his full salvation that these represent. We will touch a couple of these today, but as I mentioned earlier, because of the time, there's a lot of detail here, and it's marvelous as it's opened up in chapter 14. Particularly in the printed life study message. So normally at the end of the program, we talk a little bit about the life study. I would just mention it here because for the consideration of time, we will have to skip over a number of these points. But it would really be a marvelous resource for our listeners to pick up this volume and to get into these things. They're very rich, aren't they?
Exceedingly rich. And I would just add a very brief word on behalf of the printed material that you have a detailed and succinct study of every aspect of the type, and there is enlightenment and there is supply in every point. For us to try to cover these, especially in a hurried way, I believe would detract from the burden that we have in this particular fellowship. But we need to know the Lord's salvation in a detailed way. The details of the type are presented for a reason. That we need every aspect of Christ in these types. We need every detail of the application of His salvation. And this detail shows us how involved our situation was and how all-inclusive is the Lord's remedy.
Let's go on to the point that he mentioned here. The leper had already experienced healing in order to be qualified for the cleansing. So obviously these two are not synonymous. Differentiate these for us, and especially how they apply to our own experience.
I think the way, Chris, to approach this is to suggest that the healing of the leper refers to something inward and intrinsic in the way of the divine life operating in us, healing us from death and coming to the very source, the core of the problem in our being. But the result of leprosy is this incredible defilement, which causes one to be an outcast, to be isolated, completely out of fellowship with God and with God's people. And it's not sufficient simply to have something inward and something in the way of healing, as marvelous as it is. What about all the uncleanness? What about the defilement? That is the issue of the nature of sin injected into us. So for that, we need cleansing, a thorough cleansing, so that our fellowship with the Lord and our fellowship with the body of Christ can be recovered in a practical way. We should not be careless regarding this. The fact that the record is so detailed regarding cleansing indicates how important it is for us to be adequately and then thoroughly cleansed in the sight of a holy God. We appreciate 1 John, refer to it again, that God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins, verse 9 says, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And verse 7, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. We have been stained, contaminated, defiled, corrupted. So we need to be cleansed absolutely and thoroughly. And we need to give ourselves to cooperate with this cleansing. And when we do, we find the wonderful result is this precious fellowship with the Lord and with His body is restored.
Ron, the other day we were enjoying a message on the consecration of the priests, the sons of Aaron, and part of that process involved the placing of the blood of the trespass offering, a drop upon the tip of the ear of the right ear, and then on the right thumb, and then on the big toe of the right foot. Now we see this brought back in this chapter as it relates to the cleansing of the leper, because now the priest takes some of the blood of this trespass offering and applies it to these very same areas of the body. It was a marvelous message. I think it bears a little review before we cease part two of this marvelous cleansing. Go ahead and help us with this.
It does, because we're wrong in our listening, in our hearing. Sinners do not hear God, but they will willingly, gladly hear and take in things contrary to God. And then on our thumb, on our hand for doing things, we're wrong, we're fallen, sinful in doing things. And then the blood on the big toe, obviously the feet for walking, for going in a certain direction. We do not take God's way, we go astray. So we're wrong in our hearing, in our doing, and in our walking, in our direction. So we need cleansing in all these aspects of our practical living.
Part two here in verses 14 through 18, if any of our listeners are following along, is that then the priest took oil from his palm and placed it upon the blood that had gone onto the ear, the thumb, and the big toe. Help us with this portion. It's equally marvelous.
Well, this is the positive side, that now the oil, referring to Christ in resurrection as the Spirit, is applied to our ear so we can hear the right things, the things of God. And the oil is applied to our thumb so we can do the things of God, and to our big toe so that we can walk in the way of God. This is wonderful. Mm. So we are cleansed from hearing, doing, and walking in ways that are wrong. Then we have resurrection life, the Spirit applied to us, so that our situation is exactly opposite. We hear the right things, do the right things, and take the Lord's way. So we began as pitifully fallen, corrupt, sinful persons, wrong in our hearing, doing, and walking. We're redeemed, healed, forgiven, and cleansed. And now the Lord Himself in resurrection is applied to us, so that we can now hear the Lord, do the things of the Lord, and take the way of the Lord. This is wonderful.
Yeah, we have a hymn in our hymn book written by Watchman Nee, and it talks about this sequence, first the blood and then the ointment. And I've been enjoying this hymn a lot lately, so this point touches me very, very much. Let me read, Ron, we have just a couple minutes left, but we do have time to touch this point. In verse 18, somewhat the end of this section, it says, "And what remains of the oil in the priest's palm shall be put upon the head of the one being cleansed." There's even more marvelous significance here, isn't there?
In reviewing the life study, I was especially struck with this point. This is particularly wonderful. Why just a small quantity of oil on the ear, the thumb, and the toe, but a substantial amount on the head? Well, that's where the problems originate.
Right.
The matter of being in rebellion against God, not being under God's authority, is very much related to our head. So we need the Spirit applied to our mind. We need to be renewed in the spirit of the mind so that we will submit to the Lord and to His Word. And then all the thoughts that issue from the head, from the mind. We need a lot of oil applied to our thinking, to our thoughts, that our thoughts are, as Paul says, they're taken captive. They're subdued. And then the head directs our way. You know, as a man thinks, as a person considers, the thoughts that are in us, the basic concepts, this controls our whole living. So we need a very substantial portion of oil, of resurrection life, of the Spirit applied to our head, to our mind. And the more the oil is applied, the more we are subdued and we submit to the Lord's authority, the more our thoughts are subject to the Lord, they're brought under control, the mind is set on the Spirit, and the more our living, which is practically under the direction of our mind, is now under the direction of the divine life, which is being imparted to our mind as it's set on the Spirit. And so I admit for myself, I need oil on my head. I need the Spirit in my mind more and more, drenching it, saturating it, permeating it, so the mind can be renewed and, even as Paul said, become the mind of Christ.
I want to ditto your confession or admission, Ron. I had the same precise realization in this section. Thank you for joining us today. And for Ron Kangas, I'm Chris Wilde.